It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickert is off this week. Coming up on Central Time, comedian Maz Jobrani, a frequent panelist on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR, joins the show. First, representatives from six of the world's global powers, along with officials from Iran, are meeting in Switzerland, feverishly trying to finalize a preliminary agreement on a deal that would limit Tehran's nuclear program. Today was the self-imposed deadline to get a framework in place, though negotiations appear to be heading into an additional day, which some officials are saying signals that there's progress in the works. But what do we know about what's shaping up so far? Joining us now is Joe Greco. He's a professor of political science at Duke University. Joe, thanks for joining us today.
Rob, thank you for having me on the show.
So let's get the latest here. Negotiators breezing by the deadline, trying to wrap up with an extra day at this point, it looks like. But what do we know about progress toward a deal?
The news reporting, and that's all I'm working with, is the same news reporting that everyone else is following. I'm sure many of us are doing so quite carefully. It looks like there is a target for the production of something called a general statement basically it's going to be called a general statement. It's not going to be a framework agreement, and it's certainly not a treaty. It will be a statement. We'll have to see what the statement actually says. There's going to be some supporting documents on what needs to be done. Those supporting documents will be very, very important to read. But it looks like there will be such a general statement. The State Department spokeswoman, Marie Harf, said there was good reason to keep talking. Another important sign, the Russian foreign minister, Lavrov, who had left on Monday, returned today. That makes me think that there's some reason to believe they will come out with some sort of statement. Not sure how detailed it will be, but it may surprise us to the upside in terms of specificity.
Now, to put it at the most basic level, as I understand it, these negotiations are about loosening economic sanctions on Iran in exchange for restricting Iran's potential to produce nuclear weapons. Do I have that right in a nutshell there?
In a nutshell, that's what this is about. The United States, especially with support from its European partners, came upon, after lots of trial and error, some sanctions in 2011 and 12, which really have cut the ability of Iran to earn foreign currency and thus import goods and services. And that is what's at stake, is the relaxation of those sanctions as well as other sanctions, in exchange for which Iran would curtail its nuclear research activity and produce a window of approximately 1 year if it were to try to break out and go for an atomic weapon or nuclear weapon. The United States and its partners would have a period of time during which they could identify that and decide on what to do.
Now, one of the trickiest issues whenever we're talking about nuclear programs is how to ensure compliance, that only civilian energy-related research is being done, that things aren't bleeding over into the military side, there aren't secret facilities going on. How, in Iran or anywhere, can we be sure that a deal can be enforceable?
Yes. There would need to be, as part of this agreement, and I suspect this is part of the negotiations, an agreement by Iran to permit unannounced inspections of any site in the country. This is foreseen in nuclear diplomacy, and under the terms of the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, the technical term for it is an agreement under an additional protocol to the NPT treaty, whereby the International Atomic Energy Agency inspectors could show up. Basically, they would be given several entry visas, and they could basically arrive unannounced in the country and go to any site in the country. This, I think, is going to be an important part of any agreement. There will need to be other elements, but in terms of electronic monitoring, video monitoring, it's never possible to be 100% sure, but there are things that can be done to enhance confidence and ability to verify compliance. And if you see the term additional protocol 2, that's a positive sign.
Talking to political scientist Joe Greco about ongoing negotiations. Deadline was today. Looks like they're going to tomorrow over Iran's nuclear program. Now, this is complicated enough with the nuclear issue, the sanction issue, and it's all going on while the U.S. is, in effect, cooperating with Iran to combat ISIS in Iraq and working against Iran's efforts in places like Yemen, Lebanon, West Bank, Gaza, Syria. Do these other issues, these outside issues, affect the negotiations in any way?
My guess, oddly enough, is that the answer is no. These individuals, this is such a big standalone project. It reminds me of the strategic nuclear weapons talks between the United States and the Soviet Union, wherein even while the United States was involved in a war with one of Soviet Union's allies, namely North Vietnam, the two were making big efforts to try to control nuclear weapons. So I don't think those issues, which you correctly noted, are out there and are part of the very strange politics, regional politics of the Middle East. In terms of actually impinging on these talks, my guess is that it's pretty limited. Of course, the United States, I suspect, is hoping that if an agreement is reached, that this will lead to further a reduction in tension between the United States and Iran, and possibly between Iran and some of its neighbors. But I personally think this is a pretty self-encapsulated set of negotiations.
Well, let's look at another potentially complicating political factor closer to home.
Yes.
The U.S. Congress invited Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu over to talk about this. He's not wild about this deal. Does congressional opposition jeopardize these negotiations in any way?
I think congressional oversight and the possibility that Congress will pass legislation that the president would veto, but perhaps there are veto-proof formulations of the legislation, bringing Congress in, are a part of the negotiations. I don't think the Secretary Kerry has to tell his counterpart, the Foreign Minister, Mr. Zarif, that if he doesn't make a deal at present, he might face harder sanctions 6 months from now when the current sort of a standstill agreement runs out at the end of June. So, yes, I think there are two factors in the United States that must influence the Iranian counterparts. One, this congressional action. Number two, the presidential campaign. They must be wondering, gee whiz, would they like to make a deal now, or do they want to wait until January 2017? And they must ask themselves, do they think any of the likely successors to President Obama would give them a better deal? And it's not clear that they would get that.
Now, a lot of times a president's second term or maybe even later in a first term is one where presidents are thinking about their legacy and a foreign policy legacy. Some try to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian crisis. That doesn't look like it's in reach for President Obama. If the president succeeds, if these negotiations succeed, is this a big win for President Obama's legacy on foreign policy?
It could be a big win. It certainly is the hope of the Obama administration, that this agreement would not just put a cap on the nuclear weapons program that might be taking place in Iran, but lead to a more general improvement in relations between the two countries and perhaps a mellowing of the regime in terms of its treatment of its own population and its foreign policy. But I think the proof would be, and I think President Obama knows this, the proof would, in terms of his legacy, would be not this year, not next year, but in 7 years, 10 years, 15 years. In other words, people would look back and say, yes, the agreement did mark a moment of positive improvement. But if it does fail, if it does actually create a smokescreen behind which Iran can develop nuclear weapons, that would be the end of Obama's reputation. So I think he knows it is a legacy event, and it's a double-edged sword.
Joe, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob. It was a great pleasure.
That was Joe Greco, professor of political science at Duke University, talking about the ongoing nuclear negotiations with Iran.